I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here. Check it out. And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hans Olsen.
Hans Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Look at you catching strays here.
That was AI.
It sounds like it.
That is AI.
Oh, it's your old voicemail. Is that your new voicemail, too?
I don't have one now. Okay. I didn't even set up a voicemail.
That's what I haven't set up
Hans
a voicemail.
Olsen.
And nobody, voicemails are gone to the wayside.
Yeah. Remember when we used to spend so much time and you'd be like, you've reached the cellular telephone of blah, blah, blah. If, you know, whatever. So now those are gone. You just let the lady just do her thing.
When's the last time you listened to a voicemail?
Oh, geez. Probably yours.
Lloyd, when's the
Did
last
time? Do you even leave voicemails anymore?
When's like, the last time
no,
somebody...
No, you mean like left a voicemail?
No, listen to some... A voicemail that somebody left you.
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because my dad calls me all the time.
My dad pocket dials me and leaves like 3 minutes.
Oh, so you guys listen to voicemail. So you do have a voicemail.
Oh, I do have a voicemail, yeah.
Like, call mine. I don't think I have a voicemail set up. I think it says...
Oh, it'll say the number. Are you sure you want to do that?
Well, no, you may not have it set up. Then they'll say, the person you've reached has not set up a... Hold on.
Man, Scotty, I'm still burping smoke. Lloyd, are you still burping smoke?
No, I offset it with some Korean food.
Did
wow!
You
really? Yeah. So now you're burping.
Yes.
Like a teriyaki.
Yes. Send me to voicemail here so we can see what you got going on.
Oh. All right. Let's see.
It's gonna have the number.
How do you do that? Do you know?
Yeah, you just
hit the side twice.
Oh, like that.
Okay. I'm sorry. The person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up.
Yeah, you got to set up your voicemail.
I don't even know. I didn't think people left him anymore.
Yeah. Well,
they
I don't
would
know,
like
do
to
they?
Probably.
Because when you call somebody, they don't answer, then you send a text like, hey, man, answer your phone.
At 975 Hans or at Scotty G Zone, when's the last time you answered or listened to a voicemail? And Scotty, did you get to hear the list?
I did not.
Man, they're strict on that show.
How old are
you? I made a mistake. And I wanted to get Kathy Bates or Daryl Hannah, and
it's quite the
can
spectrum
you,
there.
You left off Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, Angela.
Well, wait a minute. What was the question?
Best leading lady
ever, or in like a
ever?
I don't think Kathy Bates nor Daryl Hannah should be on that list.
So this is my list: Julie Roberts,
okay,
Julie Andrews.
Oh, geez. No wonder you lost.
I haven't lost yet.
You said I'm going to lose that.
Well, I probably am because I thought Jake's list was pretty good. So Julie Andrews, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Molly Ringwald.
Oh, geez.
That's the one that did you in right there.
Well,
I love me some Molly Ringwald. Don't get me wrong.
And Kelly LeBrock.
Who did like one movie.
Did Sarah even know who Sarah? Or,
no, she didn't. My heart got in the way on that one.
Okay, so who did Jake go with? You know, you have Jake's list?
He went with Liz Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor.
What?
He's an old soul.
What is this? It's not 1930.
So Jake went with Elizabeth Taylor, Diane Lane. I think we know why.
Yeah. That one. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, Holly Hunter, and Frances McDermott.
Frances McDermott's good. Frances McDermott's good.
I'm going to beat all of you. Can I jump in on this?
Sure.
Why not? We typically take it over anyways.
All right.
Hans and Scotty take over.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Did somebody have Sigourney Weaver?
No.
Sigourney Weaver? What? Alien, man.
I got you.
You can't. Hey, you can't have.
That's fine.
Daryl Hannah.
I won't take Daryl Hannah.
I did not see Sigourney Weaver.
You can't have Kathy Bates.
Man, fine. She was cutthroat in that that one business movie with Melanie Griffith.
Who is the older sister in A League of Their Own? Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
Okay. Give me Gina Davis.
You mean Gina Davis from The Fly?
Yeah.
Give me, she was in a bunch of vampire movies, and she was in the remote control Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Stop it. Not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know who I'm talking about.
Kate.
Kate Blanchett. Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale.
I think Jake's list still has your list. I think Jake's list still has both our lists.
And give me... Hold on here.
Kate Beckinsale. Gina Davis. Michelle Pfeiffer. Sigourney Weaver.
We'll go recent.
Sigourney.
We'll go recent. Jennifer Lawrence.
I still like my list because you don't have Julie Roberts or Julie Andrews.
Well, Julia Roberts is going to be a problem. Julie Andrews is not.
What?
No.
Name one.
You know what? Hold on.
Female that was more talented.
Wait, you're going to talk to Sarah now. Your list has been done.
No. Strike Gina Davis.
You can't.
No, strike Gina Davis.
You can't. She's not letting you.
She's shaking her head, so.
Sarah, come on.
No, you can't.
I'm doing this on the fly here.
I get it. So did I. And
what do you think they're
doing?
You
had time to prepare.
I didn't. I tried to get rid of Kelly LeBrock, and I was shut down. I even offered $25 Venmo and shut down.
By the way, that would have been in $2 weekly install or monthly installments.
I take one loan from you.
Of $10.
No, it was a $50 loan, and I paid it back in fives. Oh, ha, ha, ha. It wasn't a year. It was 10 months.
For $10.
Come on. Let me.
$1 a month.
Let me swap out Gina real quick.
Well, tell me who you're going with.
Who you Natalie Portman.
Wish we could do it. Just can't. Natalie Portman's a good one. If she switches out Kathy Bates for Kelly LeBrock, then we're all good.
Okay, can we do that? I'll do that.
But Jake's not going to have any of this.
Oh, well, yeah, Jake's not listening. He doesn't need to know.
The thing is, Sarah's not budging.
Sarah, what do you think?
She's not budging.
Let Sarah hop on the mic real quick. Let us plead our case here with Sarah.
What's going on back there, Lloyd? She doesn't want to jump on?
Well, because I'm going on and off with the mic when we were discussing these, we missed a couple.
Oh, okay. Well, here's my list then, if she missed it.
No.
Don't
do that. Be honest here.
Okay. Kate Beckinsale.
Gina Davis.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Gina Davis.
Michelle Pfeiffer is the first one you should
Sigourney
missed.
Weaver. Jennifer Lawrence.
And Gina Davis.
And Natalie Portman.
Don't do Natalie, Sarah.
Natalie Portman.
Lloyd, I know that you were there when...
Sigourney, Gina, Kate, Michelle Pfeiffer, and
you know what? I'm fine with Gina Davis. You know what? Fine.
Well, we already have Gina.
It's probably going to be mine. It'll probably be mine, and I think Jake's going to be hard to beat.
Michelle Pfeiffer. What'd you go with? What's your fifth? Sigourney, Gina, Kate.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. Okay. There we go.
I probably should have gone Natalie Portman over Jennifer Lawrence.
Hector says, I only listen to voicemails on my work phone. But I don't leave any voicemails anymore.
Where's Angela Lansbury on your list?
Well, I would still have her probably in my top 10. But I don't think Angela Lansbury is pulling votes. I think Kelly LeBrock will pull some votes.
Kelly LeBrock's pulling no votes.
We don't know that. Maybe. I was going to go with Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah, you'd been better off with that.
I really like Mary Stuart Masterson.
Come on. Let's talk about Angela Lansbury.
Hey, Mama.
What's up, Mama?
Angela Lansbury.
This is so dumb.
Has Sarah heard this?
Bed knobs and broomsticks. It wasn't raining yet, but it was definitely a little misty on that warm November night. And my heart was pounding, my inner voice resounding, begging me to turn away. But I just had to see your face to feel alive. And then you casually walked in the room, and I was twisted in the web of my desire for you. I was twisted, I was twisted. My apprehension blew away. I only wanted you to taste my sadness as you kissed me in the dark.
What are we doing?
I am thinking of you in my sleepless solitude tonight.
14.
If it was wrong to love you, then my heart just won't let me be right. Because I've drowned in you, and I won't pull through without you by my side. I'd give my all to have you. Just one more night with you. I'd risk my life to feel you next to me. Because I can't go on living in this memory. Of our song, I'd give my all for your love tonight.
What are we doing?
It's the greatest thing of all time.
No, honestly, it is not.
It is the greatest thing.
That's the dumbest thing
that's ever been on our radio show.
How can you just press play on that? And then we sit here for 8 minutes and listen to that.
8 minutes of greatness, by the way. And shame on you. You devote an entire song to Angela Lansbury, but you do not have her on your top five leading ladies list.
I do not remember actually even making that for her. I don't remember what that was from.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. Where did you even get that?
Oh, that was our buddy Johnny did that.
Johnny did that.
Oh. Oh, I remember now.
Yeah.
That was like...
And it was
actually...
And you were reading the lyrics of
J-Lo. Wasn't it something with J-Lo and...
Jennifer. Yeah, and it was for Derek Jeter or something. Like she wrote a song for Derek Jeter.
Something like that.
Was it J-Lo?
I don't know. Somebody. No, it was...
Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
yes.
Mariah Carey.
Okay. Now I remember. And it's still trash. Here's that one, Lloyd. So how come that one didn't get lost on the...
Well, that got made while we were over here.
No, it didn't.
No, that's only like a year old.
That's not very old.
Yeah, it feels older.
Wow. Much like Angela Lansbury.
It's quite the ode. Look, I'm not gonna deny I loved Angela when I was younger. But she didn't make my list.
If you could redo it, she would be on it.
Colton tweets in, he said, no Sandra Bullock, huh?
Oh, boy, we all dropped the ball on that one.
That's a big one.
Yeah, yep.
That's
good
a big
job,
one.
Colton. Man, I was...
Eesh. That's a big one.
I don't even... you know what? Sarah, don't even put my list up there. We're all going to get mocked, and I don't want to...
She said too late. Sorry.
It's up there.
Oh, man, how did we drop the ball on that?
Sandra Bullock. That's a miss.
She's no Kelly LeBlanc, though.
It's a big L, Lloyd.
See that?
Hello, Kelly LeBrock.
You got to have that drop ready, Lloyd. That's a big L, Lloyd.
It's a big L, Lloyd.
All right, let's get to it. 12:17, starting lineup right now. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hanson Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is your starting lineup. It's all brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of American Standard furnaces and air conditioners. Call or visit leesheatac.com to schedule a free in-home estimate or get yourself a free second opinion. Let's go. Leesheatac.com.
Did you see this story that Mitch Harper just posted at kslsports.com?
Hit me.
BYU announced its version of a transfer portal camp on Wednesday. The camps will occur from June 5th to 7th and June 12th to 14th in Provo, $50 per session. Athletes eligible to compete are post-high school graduate players, including two-year and four-year transfers. That covers transfer portal athletes plus junior college transfers.
Why has nobody thought about this before? This is pretty brilliant, actually.
A couple of these have started to leak out, I guess.
Colorado and Nebraska apparently have, according to the story.
Guess, is that what he said?
Yeah, Colorado and Nebraska have announced their post-grad camps as well. Appears to be a new trend. This is interesting. We might need to get Mitch on the line on this one.
Well, with what's going on with the transfer portal and not knowing these players, the thing is, can you, if you find one you like or you've got questions on, can you bring them to the camp?
I would say there's probably, a couple that you might be able to bring in as technically a visit. But for the most part, you're just saying, look, if you're in the portal, we're going to have this camp. If you can get here, we'll work you out and we'll see what you got.
Yeah, because let's not forget that there's probably over 1,500 players that are going to sit in the portal without an opportunity.
Without an opportunity, correct.
So if you've jumped in the portal, you left your scholarship and you left your university thinking that there was going to be bigger and better things for you, and now you're sitting and waiting, you can jump into these camps.
It's brilliant. Honestly, extremely brilliant.
I am so locked into old school NCAA thinking that everything's a violation that I don't think out of the box enough.
Yeah.
I'm just so locked into that fear of NCAA violations that embarrass a coach and embarrass a university, and then you become this pride, this person that's just hated. You know, I've never felt like some of these guys that have violated NCAA violations, and I know when I say that to you, there are three or four names that instantly pop in your head, and there's negative connotations attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always so afraid of that I don't think outside of the box enough. This is thinking outside of the box.
Like, yes.
All right. Is there gray area here? Yeah, there's plenty. There has been a large gray area that's developed over the last couple of years. Okay, let's jump in it. Until that becomes either black or white, we're just going to sit here in this gray. And I don't even know if that's gray. It might be white. I don't know. Don't know where it is.
Look, if a kid doesn't have anywhere to go, and you're like, hey, you know, what's the difference between this and open tryouts with kids on campus? They do that, you know, when they're looking for walk-ons, you see schools all the time do a walk-on tryout and say, look, you know what? If you played high school and let's say you went on a mission and you kind of fell through the cracks, but you were pretty good, guess what? We're going to have open tryouts. You want to come and battle for a walk-on spot? We'll see what you got. Here's the thing. Like, look, if you're in the transfer portal and nobody's calling, and for whatever reason, you thought that people would be lining up, but you haven't gotten a shot yet, we're giving you a shot now. If you can find a way to get to Provo, get here, $50, and we'll see what you got. We'll give you a shot.
Put our eyes on you.
Yeah.
My guess is you'll get anywhere from 20 to 40 guys.
Probably.
All right, so let's say you get 20 to 40 guys. Let's say Kalani's there with 8 of his assistants or 7 of his assistants. You know, you're putting one coach for every 2 guys, one coach for every 4 guys, maybe. At the high end, maybe one coach for every 5 guys. That's a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of opportunity.
And that's all you want as a kid. Just, I want a shot. Yeah. I want to be able to prove to you what I can do.
Yeah, give me a look. Put me on a scale, and I'll prove to you I'm 315.
Yeah.
Then put me on the field, and I'll prove to you that I'm a 498. And then put me in pads, and I'll prove to you I can take the pass set. And I'll shut down whatever edge you decide you bring in, whatever you want to do. Put me on the field. Put me in pads. I'll hit every route that you can ask of me. And to have that opportunity, I think it's great. You know what would drive me nuts is being the evaluator.
Yeah.
You and I have thrown our hats in the ring.
Yeah, we got to talk about this too.
No, I don't know.
No, actually, we can't talk about this.
Yeah, I don't think we want to talk about it. But in different occasions, you and I have kind of thrown our hats into the evaluation ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good we do what we do.
Yeah. We put our name on some people and it didn't quite pan out for us.
Yeah, it's happened in the past.
In fact, I had a conversation with somebody the other day that reminded me of both of those situations. With a big fat thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that's got 30 transfer portal players, and you're like, okay, so what separates him from him? They're both 285 pounds. They're both 6'5". They're both built like an Adonis. Like, what separates them? They both have a really quick, fast twitch first step. They both have sticky fingers. They are all five of them. These are transfer portal guys. I mean, these guys have had some time at the college ranks.
Yeah.
My guess is this is how I'd run it. I'd circle guys. I'd say, all right, so if these 20 guys, have they landed a spot? No. Okay, they were a maybe for our offer out of the portal. These are all maybes. Bring all 20 of them in. We'll figure it out. Okay, well, figure out a way to get the 20 in so we can get a good look at this. Talk to them, meet them, listen to them, watch them, see them around our coaches and our guys. I mean, it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
And don't you think that some iteration of this will pop up in Logan?
Everybody's going to do it.
In Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be silly not to. Especially when you're just saying, hey, look, you feel like everybody's overlooked you. You feel like you got something to prove. Your old coach didn't like you and shoved you out the door. Well, guess what? You got a clean slate here. We're going to have a 3-hour session. All you got to do is come up with $50 and some gas money to get here, and you can prove to us why you deserve a scholarship and you were wronged by your previous staff.
Yep.
That's all you got.
Want to know the backstory?
You don't need to tell us your sob story. We don't need to know why you're in the portal. Fact is, you're there now, and if you want a shot, we'll give it to you. Let's go. All right, 12:25, Hans and Scotty, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We'll have a chance to hear from Kurt Helin coming up later on in the show. We'll chat some NBA with him. Hey, there's still a team. There's still a pulse with the Boston Celtics. We'll talk more about that as well. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL beat Colorado Saturday. Can they do it again tonight? It's the U.S. Open Cup, round of 16, winner to the quarterfinals. Pregame show tonight at 7, first kick at 8 o'clock.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, just like that, we're back. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm not even ready, Lloyd. You caught me off guard. Caller, not right now, but keep listening for your chance to win tickets to go see Nate Bargatze. Tickets on sale for the Be Funny tour live at the Delta Center, September 29th and 30th at 7 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.com and keep listening. We'll be giving away tickets here shortly. All right, Hans, Eastern Conference. I thought if there was a series that could get to five, it would be the Lakers getting a win in game 4. But Lakers are done, and I thought for sure, and I think you and I were on the same page, I thought that the Boston Celtics would roll over and play dead, but hey, they showed a little fight last night, and this series is going back to Boston with the Celtics having a chance to make this 3-2 after picking up a win last night. A little surprised to see that, actually.
I was surprised, too. Thought Boston would lay over, and they didn't. But it was one of those rare nights, Scotty, where Miami didn't shoot 100% from three.
Yeah.
They went 8 of 32 for 25%. And on the flip side, Boston went 18 of 45 and hit 40%. And I think that that is the shift. I think when Miami's hitting, and they've hit 50-plus percent a couple times in this series already. When Miami hits on the perimeter, Miami's good, unstoppable, probably beats Boston. And they're going to figure out a way to do that in one of the next three games. And they're going to – and I can't fathom that Boston finds a way to be the first ever out of an 0-3 hole. So I feel like it's just a matter of time. But one thing I love about sports, and one of my favorite parts about doing this job, is watching the unimaginable, watching basically movie storylines take place right in front of us that you couldn't write. That's what sports does. It organically and naturally writes entertainment storylines. And if Boston can even get themselves to a game seven.
That'd be awesome. It'd be great.
An opportunity at TD Garden against the Miami Heat, pulling from an 0-3 to get to a 3-3 with a game seven. Come on. That would be spectacular. And at that point, I would probably want them to win the game seven.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Just to be able to say, we watched it, we saw it happen, and this at least puts them in a position where that's a possibility. We might see some type of fantastic comeback. But it ain't going to happen.
I was looking at some numbers. I think ESPN said it's only happened three times. The only time I could remember was the, and just because it happened here, the Jazz and the Nuggets. In 94, when the Jazz were up 3-0, Denver won three in a row, but the Jazz won game seven. So that's the only time I remember. Apparently, it's happened two other times. Now, in all three instances, the team that led 3-0 won game seven. But look, if it got there and it happened, I would be full on, let's go Celtics. Yeah.
That's I hope happens.
As a sports fan, you just want to see things you've never seen before.
That's it. That's why we love what we do.
Look, when Ryan Odom's team beat Virginia in the 16-1 upset, we were all fired up because we'd never seen it before. And we were fired up because, hey, look, it's never happened. When the Red Sox, even though it had happened before in baseball, but when the Red Sox were down 0-3 to the Yankees in the ALCS, back in 2004, 2005, and they came back and won. Hey, I hadn't seen it before. It was awesome. So it would be great to see it. Eventually, it will happen in the NBA where somebody's down 0-3 and comes back and wins a series. It might be this year. I hope so because, look, we're all about seeing history. It'd be great.
Yeah, I still believe one of the greatest things I've ever watched in sports was LeBron down 3-1 to Golden State.
Yeah.
Still one of the greatest things I've ever watched. Those comebacks are incredible. And a game seven being pushed from 0-3 would be spectacular. It's just unfathomable that could possibly happen. It is the furthest thing from belief, and that's why it would be so exciting to see it. At least you get yourself to a 3-1. At least you get to see game five coming up on Thursday. And maybe Boston does find the spark. And maybe Mazzulla does hold on to his job. Who knows? Because I still think that there's some left to be written in this. But if, for those of you that watch this game, I think all of us through the better part of the first half just believed it was over. And Boston was done. It was a 9 or 10 point lead in the first half. And Miami definitely felt like the dominant team that wanted to end it. And then Boston goes on that 18-0 run, and it changed everything. They were 6 of 7 from the floor during that run, 4 of 4 from 3, and Tatum had 9 of his 18 points in that 18-0 run, and it took them from down 9 to up 9 in that quick span, and then Boston held on to it and ended up with a very dominant win.
And Is there, I don't know. Like, I can't, as cool as it was to see and as great it was as it was to see Boston, you know, get that W, it still doesn't lead you to believe that anything's going to change in this series. The only thing I can look at here is, hey, you're down 3-1. You can't look about winning, talk about winning. Okay, we got to win three in a row. You just got to take one at a time. And game five is in Boston. So you're like, okay, we got to find a way to win game five. Knowing that game seven will eventually be in Boston too. So, but you just focus on, look, we're going to be at home. Let's win a game at home. And then you win a game in Miami. And then you worry about that game. But two out of the next three are in Boston. If it goes that far, if I'm the Celtics, I'm thinking maybe I got a little momentum. But again, maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into hoping that we see some history. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to see it, but I think it probably ends in game five and Miami just shuts the door on this thing.
Where would Miami be if they had Oladipo and their three shooter, Tyler Hero? How much would Tyler Hero or Oladipo, how much would those guys affect or change this?
I think it makes a difference.
Because I saw a story, I can't remember at what point, but they were talking about how Tyler Hero is at least getting back into action a bit.
I think you have a chance to see him, especially if Miami's able to close this thing out with some rest coming up and some time. I from everything I've read, I think good chance you'll see him in the NBA Finals. Oladipo, I don't know about him.
No, I doubt that. But I was curious because Miami's making this run and they're doing it without,
yeah,
really two of their names.
And with Hero, with an elite NBA shooter, with a team that's already shot the lights out.
Yeah.
And you add him to the mix.
Yeah, what do you do? Now,
with all that being said, do you think they have a chance against Denver?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't.
But then again, I didn't think they'd beat Milwaukee. You go down the list, I didn't think they'd win any of these series.
Denver has built that crazy aura of intimidation, invincibility. No, I don't think Miami would have a chance, even with Tyler Hero. Maybe you throw Victor Oladipo and Tyler Hero out there. Now that Gabe Vincent has kind of surfaced, and Gabe Vincent went out yesterday in that game.
Yep.
I don't know how bad that injury is, but Vincent was kind of the hero of game three. He was 29 points from Gabe Vincent. And that was game three, right?
Yeah. Only played, well, he played 28 minutes.
Hopefully he's not hurt too bad.
Oh. But yeah, for a team that had been so elite shooting the three ball, and last night they were 8 of 32, 25%. That's coming back down to earth.
Yeah, I went through and I was tracking Miami Heat through the Milwaukee series, then the Miami Heat through the New York series, and then the Heat so far through this Boston series. And there are major waves. They'll give you a 25%, but then they've got a 54%,
yeah,
or 52%, or 48, or 40%. They've hit some really big numbers on the perimeters through this. I want to say that the lowest shooting percent from the perimeter where they got the win, I think, was 30 or 31% when I was looking at it this morning, where they didn't knock the lights out with their three, but still got a win. You were talking about their series average so far against Boston. It's ridiculous what they're doing for the perimeter. But this brings them back to earth a little bit. And it shows that they're not going to be able to hit that 40-plus mark every single night. And if they don't, then you got a shot. Thing is, they've got three games to hit that shooter's choice.
Yeah, they just need one game.
Got to just hit one of the three.
Which is going to happen.
Yeah,
there's going to be one night where they'll shoot 45-plus from three, and Boston can't compete with that.
I agree. They'll get up 32, 33 attempts.
Now, are they going to be able to do that in four games in the NBA Finals against Denver? Probably not.
I don't think so. I think Denver's got some exhaustible players on that didn't want to play defense through the regular season.
Yeah.
But have kicked it up a notch since. Watching Jamal play defense on LeBron was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Watching Aaron Gordon play defense.
Watching Aaron Gordon on Kevin Durant was insanely impressive. Jokic still doesn't want to play any defense.
No.
He still has no intention.
Which is fine.
He'll get you a rebound. He'll get you a steal now and then.
Yeah.
But he's not going to give you a lot of defense. But it'll give you everything you've got on offense.
And this is why I think LeBron is, well, I mean, look, there's a lot of reasons why LeBron's at the tail end. And I meant to bring this up yesterday. I had it in my notes about the game. But there was LA's second to last. Yeah, because it was a tie game. It was LA's second to last possession. They had a chance to take the lead. They didn't get the look. And Denver scored on the next possession. And then LA had the ill-fated possession to try to tie the game and send it in overtime. But LeBron was matched up against Jokic. And I'm thinking, you got to take him to the rim. You got to attack him because Jokic isn't going to play defense. And LeBron passed out of that possession. And it was like, that was it. That was the matchup you wanted. Go attack him. He had five fouls. You attack him. You tried to, or yeah, did.
Anyway. Well, there was the, he got the fifth, but didn't they review it?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's in foul trouble. You know, he's not going to want to, if that game goes into overtime, he's not going to want to take foul trouble into OT.
Yeah.
And so you had a chance to attack and you had a chance to go after him, and LeBron passed out of it. And that was the moment where I thought, yeesh, big time LeBron isn't going to give up the ball in this situation.
No.
That's not the time for you to be a facilitator.
He runs right up your chest.
Yeah, especially when you have that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And Jokic, elite, MVP, Hall of Famer, maybe the best player in the league right now. Certainly arguable. But on the defensive side, yeah, the dude's a bit of a sieve, and they didn't go after him, which was shocking to me. Miami will do everything they can to exploit that. I still don't think it's going to be enough.
What probability do you give to Boston being able to come out of this now 1-3
to win the series?
Uh-huh. Less than 5%.
10. I give him a 10% chance.
You give him that high?
Yeah. And maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic.
It would be the first out of 178?
79?
179?
Yeah.
I give him 2%. Just can't even imagine it.
I think
in the next three games, unless Jimmy Butler goes down or something.
Yeah.
And severe.
I think only of the teams that have been down 0-3, I think only 40 of them have even got to game six.
Really?
Out of the 179. Usually they lose in game four or game five, the series.
So now you go back to Boston.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, they've got to get that win at home.
Yeah. If they win that game, then all bets are on the table right now.
Because you've already taken one in Miami, yeah. So you know it's possible.
Yeah.
At that point, all the pressure gets put on Miami.
Yeah, Miami starts to clench up a little bit.
Yeah. You don't want to get those.
And when you clench up, you're not shooting nearly as well as you were before.
So does this save Joe Mazzulla's job? The 3-1? Does the one win?
Well, who did we talk to yesterday?
Avoiding the sweep.
Who did we have on yesterday that said he didn't think
Sean
he'd get
Devaney?
Fired? Yeah, Sean Devaney did not think he'd be fired. And that was when he was down 0-3. So we'll talk to Kurt Helan later today, get his opinion on it. I thought for sure if they lost and they got swept, that he'd be out of his job. He gets one, might save his job. If he gets two, I absolutely believe it. Because here's the other thing, too, Hans, you got to look at, is that that team responded down 0-3. We talked about this yesterday. If that team didn't want Joe Mazzulla, they'd roll over and play dead.
Yeah, because
get to Cancun quickly. They know the coach is going to be gone if they get swept. But they fought for him last night. And if I'm a GM and if I'm a team president and owner, I look at the way the team responded down 0-3, knowing that if they lost, there's a good chance their coach might get fired. They played hard for him last night, especially in that third quarter when it would have been really easy to just roll over and play dead. You're already in Miami. So you can just stay there and kick off your vacation there, your summer vacation. Mm-hmm. But no, they fought and they played well for him. So that might have earned him a stay of execution. /12:45, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll chat with Matt Parrino, get his thoughts on the Buffalo Bills and Dalton Kincaid as OTAs, minicamps underway in the NFL, still a couple months away from training camp. We'll give you an update on the top 60 and 60 as we have a conundrum on our hands. We are stuck at 61. Somebody's got to go, and we're not quite sure how to get there.
Oh, look at me.
Lloyd wouldn't budge?
Well, Lloyd...
I've already budged.
Lloyd copied and pasted the entire Utah roster, and we had to whittle that down a little bit.
It's not,
and that was my budge. That was me budging, so...
It's not going to be a big surprise, though, that Utah is going to have a lot of players in this.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. We'll take a look at it. We'll take a look at it. I'm waiting for a response back on one individual.
Okay. And again, the coaches have a big say on that final list. I had had a couple of guys. I met with Blake Anderson on who he wanted. I had a couple of guys on the list, and he just went big old like, scratched him out. Like it was our high school term paper. Just nope, nope, nope.
You have an interesting one that I feel like those stats for a certain guy.
Yeah,
double.
I'm having a hard
else.
Time. And that's a guy
one.
That's right there on the bubble, and he might get knocked out. I don't know. We're having a tough time on this. 12:46, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Barry Trammell, sports columnist for the Oklahoman. You got a quote.
Of course, you're talking about the Big 12 coach. You told me Colorado's coming soon.
What is your gut instinct on this?
My gut instinct, really, until the last few weeks, was that the Pac-12's going to stay together. It just made too much sense. The difference of $2 million a year is not worth being in a conference out of your time zone or your tradition or your heritage or your history. But the deeper we get into this and the crazy nature of the marketplace, it looks like there's some fundamental problems with the television market. 3 months ago, I said, well, yeah, they're going to be able to work this out. And now I'm just not so sure. So I think it's more likely than ever that some PAC schools are coming to the Big 12. I've changed my opinion. I think it's now likely. 3 months ago, I didn't think it was likely.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time to Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. It is a Wednesday, which means it's a win ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Sam Smith in concert at the Delta Center coming up on August 19th. By the way, Hans, she was quite popular in our youth. Tina Turner has passed away at the age of 83 years old. We don't need another hero. She has passed away.
What was her most famous song?
What's Love Got to Do with It? We Don't Need Another Hero.
What was the song that video was like from, like Thunderdome?
I think that...
Is that what it's called, Thunderdome?
Yeah. She with Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad Max.
A song to it, yeah.
I thought it was Hero. And then, of course, she did her and her husband, Ike Turner, Proud Mary. So, yeah, a lot of great songs. Did a couple songs with Bryan Adams.
How old was she?
83 years old. I had no idea she was that old.
She lived a good life.
What'd she do with Bryan? What's Love Got to Do with It?
No, I can't can't remember the name of the song. It's on the Reckless album. It's Only Love. So there you go. Tina Turner, no longer with us. Passing away at the age of 83. All right, Hans, what you may have missed right here on The Zone. Obviously, that has torn all of us apart right now. We're trying to get through it together.
And we will. We'll find a way.
If I asked you before to name a Tina Turner song, could you have done it?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
No kidding.
I might be raring that, though. Maybe I would have got What's Love Got to Do with It.
Yeah, because she had a career resurgence when we were, you know, mid-80s, mid to late 80s, and then not much since then.
What you may have missed, the official list has been put out for the Jake and Ben show. Sarah just released it.
Oh, boy. All right.
And you, my friend, take center stage.
I didn't want Gina Davis.
You had to take Gina Davis because you said Gina Davis. I was trying to switch out Kelly LeBrock. If you didn't hear our first segment, I was on with Jake Scott filling in for Ben at 11 o'clock today, and we went through the What You Got Wednesday. The two categories were best defensive lineman from the state of Utah, best college football defensive lineman from the state of Utah, and then it was best leading ladies. And I think I knocked it out of the park with Julie Andrews, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, and then I went a little bit personal. I let my own heart speak a little bit too much. Molly Ringwald and Kelly LeBrock. Jake went with Elizabeth Taylor, Diane Lane, Scarlett Johansson, Holly Hunter, and Frances McDormand. And I believe Holly Hunter and Frances McDormand probably his two best picks, then Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Scotty, you went Sigourney Weaver, Gina Davis, Kate Beckinsale, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jennifer Lawrence. I actually think that these three lists are going to be difficult.
By the way, that was not in that order, but we'll take that. That's fine.
The Sigourney one.
I don't want like Sigourney Weaver being like my number one overall pick.
When I think of your list, I think of Sigourney.
I don't know why you're hating on Sigourney Weaver. That's a hell of an actress right there. She's been in a lot of stuff. Ghostbusters. Come Alien. On, you go down the Aliens.
And that's like it.
Avatar.
Oh,
You bring up Avatar of all people, you? Huh. Okay.
Ghostbusters.
I already said Ghostbusters.
Avatar.
Dana Barrett.
No Dana, only Zool.
Yeah, we know that we missed on the big one. That one would have got somebody over the top. I can't believe we both missed on Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, not that. That wasn't good.
Dang, that would have been.
We're going to take a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, that would have been a topper. That would have been a game changer. The defense.
Remember the show Dave, where she was the.
No,
I know you. We've talked about this. You should watch that. I think you'd actually like that show.
Oh, is that a newer?
No, it's old '90s.
Oh,
she's married to the president.
Defensive lineman. Here was the list. Jake got Phil Olson, Luther Ellis, Starlo Delele, Jan Jorgensen, and Steve Fifita.
Okay.
I got Merlin Olsen, Nate Orchard, Jason Buck, Paul Kruger, and Hunter Dimmick.
Yeah, you got that one.
I got that one.
Yeah, you did well on that.
I've got the two Outland Trophy Award winners.
Yeah.
I've got the regular seasons. Has anybody had more sacks in a year than Nate Orchard in the state?
No, I believe not.
I think he had the best sack season in a single career in the state. And I feel good about Paul Kruger.
No, you did well on that one.
You could have rotated Bradley and I or Hunter Dimmick, but I felt like Bradley was an incredible pass rush artist and a great defensive end. Hunter was great at stopping the run. He was a great run stopper.
All right, 1 o'clock straight up. Matt Perino's going to join us next. We'll check in with the Buffalo Bills. Kurt Heedlin will join us coming up at 2:05. It's all straight ahead, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, The Sports Zone.
God, simply the best. Tina Turner passing away at the age of 83. Anytime the Jazz did anything, there was about a 15-year time span when they would retire a jersey, when they do something, they'd always play Simply the Best. It's like, hey, man, there's other songs out there. You can do something else. We don't need to play this every single time.
Oh, man, don't you feel like the hair on your legs standing up, though? So good.
Funny, like a lot of people, like when you start playing the song, I'm like, what song are you playing here? Like everybody, people just know the chorus. They don't actually listen to the whole song.
Lloyd, don't act like you've had hair on your legs since you started biking.
You've
shaved your legs for the last 12 years.
Aerodynamic.
Since you got your wing bike or your Stefano.
What? Joining us now, Bills beat reporter, Syracuse.com, Matt Perino, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Matt, how are you?
What's up, Matt?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good. All right. Bills getting OTAs underway. Dalton Kincaid, obviously the former Ute, is a guy that everybody here in Utah is keeping an eye on. Talk us through what the next few weeks look like for the Bills and what he's got in store for him.
Yeah, so I think right now it's all about install, right? Like getting the playbook. The Bills have a really complicated offense. And I remember a couple of years ago when Emmanuel Sanders came here, a guy that had been in multiple offenses, you know, multiple, like I think over a decade of NFL experience. And he was just going on and on about how the complexities of the playbook, the terminology. So that part of it, I feel like it could be jarring for young players as they try to, you know, especially a guy like Dalton Kincaid where the expectations are high. This is a Super Bowl contending team. He's supposed to be like the missing piece of the offense, which, by the way, you know, they kind of sputtered down the stretch last year, but this is still one of the elite offenses in the NFL. So he is going to join some really talented players in this offense, led by Josh Allen. But they really need him to open up the middle of the field to operate in that short and intermediate area. And so the nuances of the playbook, the routes that they're going to ask him to run, and then most importantly, getting on the same page and building a chemistry with Josh Allen. That's what Cole Beasley did so well when he got here in 2019, excuse me. And I know a lot of people have struggled with that comp because Cole Beasley is a smaller, compact, but traditional slot receiver. But how he won in the area of the field that he operated in, that's what they're going to ask Dalton Kincaid to do.
So Dawson Knox is back, right? Just making sure.
He is, yep.
Is Dawson Knox kind of looked at as a cast-off, or are they looking at it to be kind of a Dalton Kincaid-Dawson Knox two-tight-end threat?
They definitely want to incorporate a lot of 12 personnel this season. I mean, there's no way around that. They just gave Dawson Knox a contract extension before last season. They love the player. He was a little bit inconsistent last year. I mean, it's hard to blame him. I mean, what he went through at the beginning of the season, losing his brother, passed away right at the beginning of the season. He missed a little time there while he dealt with that being with his family, so on and so forth. So, you know, it was a hard season for Knox last year. They like him as a weapon in this offense. I mean, he's a multifaceted tight end. I think he's gotten better every year as a blocker. And when he's been really good, he's been a red zone threat. 2 years ago, going into the playoffs, I think he had a streak of like 8 or 9 straight games, or six, maybe it was 6 straight games with a touchdown into the playoffs, and that included the playoff games. So he's a reliable guy. But, you know, you go back to the Carolina Panthers days when Ken Dorsey was the quarterback's coach there, worked with Cam Newton, they had Jeremy Shockey, and they had Greg Olsen. And that two tight end set really opened up that offense for them. And I think that they're hoping that same thing can happen here. Stephon Diggs gets a lot of targets in this offense. A couple years ago, Cole Beasley was number 2 in the target share. So I think that's the ceiling for Kincaid. Like, I think we can reach a point where if he develops the kind of trust with Allen that he needs to develop, he could be a big part of this offense.
Are we heaping too much on Dalton Kincaid right out of the gate, or is it just like, hey, you're a first-round pick. You got to act like it. You're going to be needed. Go out there and get it done.
You know, most of the time, I'd probably say, yeah, maybe slow it down a little bit, especially for this organization that traditionally views rookies as, you know, earn everything you get, take it slow kind of thing. But Kincaid feels different. Like, you know, listening to Daniel Jeremiah the night of the draft when the Bills took him, and, you know, how highly he had him graded in this draft and what he could potentially mean for this offense, I think it's, you know, you got to look at the player. You got to look at the person. And Brandon Bean said that what he's noticed more than anything since he's walked in the door is he's unflappable. He's never too high. He's never too low. He treats an incompletion the same way he would a 30, 40-yard touchdown. And I think that that's really important as you're going through the ups and downs of your rookie season. No matter who you are, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be tough spots and really successful spots. And he landed in the right spot, too, for him to potentially have a big impact because, you know, at the end of the day, Diggs is going to be the guy everybody talks about still. Josh Allen is going to dominate the headlines, and he's going to be able to kind of fit in around those guys. And I still think Gabriel Davis, there's a ceiling that he hasn't reached yet. And they're going to really ramp up this running game. They went out and they signed Damian Harris, Latavius Murray. They have James Cook, who they drafted in the second round last year, who they're really high on. So a lot of weapons in this offense.
Where are we at with Von Miller at this point, health-wise and expectation-wise? Because it feels like that might be the veteran piece that this team needs on the defensive side.
Yeah, he's saying all the right things. He's been through this process before, and I thought it was interesting yesterday getting a chance to talk to him. He met with the media, and he said he's comparing this rehab to the one he went through in 2013. He said, back then, I wanted to get back as soon as possible. I wanted to prove everybody that you didn't need 9 months to recover from an ACL. So the goal has kind of changed now. Now he's looking at it as, of course, there's an urgency, but he also wants to be available for the Bills late in the season. So he's not going to rush it. He said he guarantees he'll be back by week 6. That's one thing that he did say. But he's starting to ramp up the you know, the defensive lineman type drills. He's got the cleats on the grass. He's starting to move a little bit. He hasn't really started to cut yet. But I think that they're hopeful that they get him back, you know, close to the form that he was in about halfway through the season. And they've spent a lot of draft capital at defensive end over the last couple of seasons. Boogie Basham was a second rounder a couple years ago. A.J. Epenesa, a second rounder the year before that. And then Greg Rousseau was a first rounder who they have really big high expectations for, the 6'6" dude out of Miami that, you know, if he puts it all together, he could be a real force, and they're hoping that they can pair him with Von Miller. And it's a contract year for Ed Oliver, too, by the way, which I think is a really important storyline to track this season.
So a lot of people thought that the Bills would take that step last year to the Super Bowl after, you know, that disappointing loss in Kansas City the year before. It didn't quite happen. Is it still Super Bowl or bust going into this season for this squad?
Yeah, I think we're definitely in that realm, especially with the core coming back and Josh Allen still in place. You know, there was a learning curve for Ken Dorsey last year. There's nobody that's, you know, going to lie about that or deny it inside the building. You know, first year play callers, you're learning valuable lessons every week. And I think what they took from last season and the way that the offense, you know, kind of fell off track towards the end of the year and the frustrations with Stephon Diggs is they got to find a way to be not only multiple as an offense, but also have you know, a plan B, C, D, E, and F. I mean, that's one thing. You go back a couple of years ago when the Kansas City Chiefs offense really started to struggle and Patrick Mahomes didn't look like himself. I think it was for like 5 or 6 weeks. They found a new way to win, you know, whether it was developing their run game and, you know, working the, you know, the intermediate area more, the short area more. You have to have different ways to win offensively in this league. The defenses are just too good. And so I think Dorsey comes back in a much better spot this year with some answers. And I also, too, like the different flavors of playmakers that they've brought in and replaced some other guys. Like for Cole Beasley, they tried to bring him back. It didn't work out. They're going in much younger and speedier route in Deontay Hardy, who had a really good year a couple years ago with the Saints, was banged up with some foot injuries. You know, I got a chance to watch him out at practice for the first time yesterday, and he looks explosive. And so, of course, they're not in pads, so you don't want to take too much away from it. But if he can have any type of role in this offense, you know, I like that signing. And then Trent Sherfield, who was that number three in Miami last year, a lot of people, you open up a lot of people's eyes with the way that he produced pretty consistently for them behind Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So I like the kind of, you know, they had a specific skill set they wanted to add to the offense, and now it's about can they fit all the pieces together and make it work, especially in the run game too, where this just hasn't been a potent run game. Really, even going back to Brian Daboll, they never had a great run game while Josh Allen has been the quarterback because they've mainly asked him to be it.
Roger Goodell taking some heat for the new fair catch rule. Where do you stand on that?
I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not a big, like, special teams, you know, as a difference maker in games. Like, there's so many moments in a football game that, you know, if they want to tinker with the rules, like, around that. I mean, even a couple of, or last offseason when they made the rule change to the, you know, the overtime rule after Josh Allen didn't get the ball in overtime. It's like, you have plenty of times, moments in a game to win it that, like, when we're starting to complain about, like, rules and stuff like that, I don't know. I'm a little old school in that department that, you know, you usually get hundreds of opportunities, little moments in games to win games, and you've got to add up as many as you can.
Do you feel like Buffalo fans had any reaction with New York bringing in Aaron Rodgers in that AFC East? Has that raised some eyebrows, maybe boosted some expectations or hopes for Buffalo and what they're able to do?
On the surface, and what they'll tell you is everybody loves Aaron Rodgers. They respect him. He's an all-time great. You're asking, like, for me to read between the lines? I don't think they're very worried about it. I think that, you know, the Bills have had a recent look at Aaron Rodgers, and it hasn't looked the same as it has, you know, for the most part of his career. I mean, last year, and, you know, he's getting a better wide receiver one in Garrett Wilson, and they have some weapons in that offense, no doubt, but I think he's going to a lesser offensive line, and he's not as mobile as he once was. And he's going to play in a division where all three of these other teams, the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Patriots, have a really, really good defensive line. So, I think it's going to add a little bit of a fun dynamic from a national perspective because all of these games now are going to get such national buzz. I mean, every Jets game since I started covering the team 5 years ago, it's just kind of been ho-hum, right? Like, kind of fell to the back of the pack depending on what other games were happening that year. Now it's leaving the week one. We're going to New York, Monday Night Football, and it's going to be a great time. And I think it's energized the division a little bit. The Dolphins started it last year and how good they were. And the Jets were good last year even without Rodgers. And you got to figure they'll be better now that they have him. So it's going to be a fun divisional race to cover.
What's the timeline on that new stadium, and why in the world is it not a, you know, retractable roof or enclosed?
It's expensive. I think that's the start of it. There's also a piece of it. I mean, this is a very blue-collar town. I know a lot of people, like, roll their eyes, at even some people locally, when you say that. But, you know, historically, I mean, you go back to those Super Bowl teams in the 90s. I mean, there's some classic games that happened in the snow in that stadium.
All right.
And I don't know if they necessarily want to take that away. Now, you know, if you want to use some recency bias, maybe they should have considered a dome a little bit more because even guys in their own locker room are talking about the snow being a factor in that loss to the Bengals. And all Sean McDermott has talked about since he got here has been like, you want to win enough games so that teams have to come and play you in the elements. And you know, their team wasn't ready to play in those elements last year, which is troubling. It won't open until 2026. They just recently have started to break ground. There hasn't even been like an official ceremony yet, but you see the some of the, you know, the visuals of it. You know, the big piles of dirt across the street there. It's a conversation that'll, you know, I'm sure if they lose another playoff game, you know, there'll be a big movement of fans that want them to consider even putting a dome on that thing.
How many games have you seen moved out of there because of snow?
That last year was the first one.
Usually they get it done.
And what's funny is that game, you had to really like look into it because it wasn't moved because they were worried about the snow in the stadium. They were worried about travel to and from the stadium.
Oh, okay.
So people coming in from out of town, like, you know, there's a lot of season ticket holders that drive in from Rochester, Syracuse, even New York City. And getting to the stadium was going to be a nightmare. And then you got to think about, like, are all the plows going to be able to move around? And so I think they were just trying to avoid the huge taxing situation it would have been on the local community. But it hasn't happened before.
Well, Matt, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to catching up with you again here soon down the line.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com. Covering the Bills and doing a tremendous job.
Okay, so a couple thoughts for Dalton Kincaid. Number one, I do think this is the best possible position he could have been drafted into. He's got a young and up-and-coming quarterback that's already shown that he's got tremendous ability. He's got a fellow tight end across from him in Dawson Knox that's got 4 or 5 years. I don't know how many years he's got at Buffalo, but he's got a few years at Buffalo. And over the last couple of years, I know he's done some really good things at that tight end position. He's got a superstar in the wideout in Stephon Diggs, and I think that he's got a potential star in the making in Khalil Shakir, who's only got 1 year under his belt.
Yeah.
Came in as a rookie in 2022, and I know you watched a lot of Khalil, and I got to call him in a bowl game, and that guy is lights out.
He's really good.
Special breed. And then you got a pretty good offensive line. What you have questions with is, can your defense hold it down? And Von Miller, that's why I asked him about Von. I think Von is the key. I think Von's old.
Yep.
I think he's got a lot of miles on the legs.
Couple ACLs.
You know, you watch guys like Ray Lewis that got to the big game, and they were a big part of that defense for many, many years, and that's what you need. You need that voice and that motor. Von Miller still had one of the most incredible individual performances by an offensive or defensive player in Super Bowl history, in my opinion. That guy turned on a motor that I had never seen before.
Yeah.
And you hope that he can kind of send some of that energy to the rest of that defense. Outside of that, Buffalo should, and I know that there's some that feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to change things around for the Jets and AFC East, but the Buffalo Bills should be top of the AFC East again. I still wonder if Tua is making the right decision.
To play?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair thing to ask.
That changes things for Miami. New England is going to do what New England does, and they may take another step forward. But Buffalo is still going to reign supreme in what I think is probably the best division in the AFC.
Yeah, I have a hard time arguing with you on that one. And I'm not sure what to expect out of Aaron Rodgers.
You think it's better than the AFC West? AFC West, Kansas City, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. AFC East, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. I would say that the West would be if you didn't put Aaron Rodgers in place. But now it feels like it sparks the Jets.
I would give the AFC the lead to the AFC East because not really sold on the Chargers. The Raiders are the Raiders. They'll find a way to Raiders their way out of everything.
And we thought they were going to be really good last year. I'm talking about the AFC West.
Yeah, the
AFC
Broncos West are still a massive question mark. You know, can Sean Payton find a way to get Russell Wilson to actually play good football again? And then the Chiefs just dominate everybody. So, Yeah, I would go AFC East.
Yeah. Even though Kansas City's probably going to come.
I mean, yeah, Kansas City's the best. I mean, there was a moment there where it looked like Buffalo was ready to race past Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, they had Kansas City on the ropes in that playoff game and then just let them off the hook.
Yep.
But then Buffalo regressed and Kansas City just kept on churning away and went and won another Super Bowl. So, you know. Man, during the break, I listened to some audio and we'll play it. In fact, we're going to have it in the good coming up next. Patrick Mahomes, who, let's be honest, his brother's very unlikable. His wife's pretty unlikable. But this dude, as much as I want to hate him because he just destroys my team twice a year, is really likable and has a really smart sense of how to handle and manage a football team.
By the way, Scotty's not just saying they're unlikable because they're obnoxious. They're unlikable because one is standing charges, some significant charges.
Yes.
On a sexual assault.
Yeah.
And the other one decided to spray champagne or something all over fans that was in the freezing cold and then went on social media. Was like, deal with it. It's like, wow, that's the wrong way to handle this.
Yeah.
That was really the wrong way to handle that.
I mean, both of their social media presences are crazy obnoxious. And then his brother, obviously, has got himself in all kinds of trouble.
His brother's probably going to go away for a while.
Yeah. All right, 125, Hans and Scotty. We'll get to that good, the bad, the ugly coming up next right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, of course, you hear him alongside Scott Girard from noon to 3. He is also the radio analyst for the BYU Cougars, former Cougar himself, Hans Olsen.
That's one thing they're going to have a lot of, Jake, is a lot of great blocking. This is probably going to be BYU's best offensive line in their history.
Wow, that's saying a lot. You were on those 90s teams, too, that had those Mahler offensive lines.
And they were special. And Roger French was churning out a draft pick every year. Well, now BYU's starting to churn out a draft pick every year off the offensive line. You've got depth, you've got studs, you kind of got it all across the front. And I think if these guys stay motivated and they stay focused, I think this could be your best offensive line that you've had.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hanson, Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all brought to you by Zero Res. From Nephi to Ogden, it's just $33 per room. You schedule in May, and you're going to get a fourth room cleaned absolutely for free. It's all available for you right now at ZeroRes.com. That's ZeroRes.com. All right. Let's get to the good. And again, I don't get Patrick Mahomes on the good very often because, frankly, he makes my team look bad twice a year. They've dominated the division. They've dominated the AFC. Frankly, they've dominated the NFL. They played in 3 Super Bowls. They've won 2 of them. And we're very close to getting to a 4th Super Bowl. So, yes, we are in the middle of a Kansas City Chiefs dynasty. I'm not a fan of it, but here we are. But it's hard not to be a fan of Patrick Mahomes when asked about the fact that there's now a bunch of quarterbacks that have leapfrogged him in terms of how much money that they're making. And Patrick Mahomes, I think we can all safely say, if you had to pick one quarterback in the NFL right now to build your team around, it would be Mahomes. That's the guy you probably want because, you know, he's been dominating the league and will continue to dominate the league for many years to come. So he was asked about this, if it bothers him that other quarterbacks around the league are now making more money than he is. And here's his lengthy response with a couple more back and forth with members of the media.
Yeah, I mean, I always keep me, my agent, and the team always keep open communication. And we try to do whatever is the best for the team, but obviously I want to do the best for myself as well. But at the same time, I've always said I worry about legacy and winning rings more than making money at this moment. But I know we keep communication. We see what's going on around the league. But at the same time, I'll never do anything that's going to hurt us from keeping the great players around me. So it's kind of teetering around that line.
So you're not driven to be the highest paid quarterback average per year. That's not...
No. It's more of a... You just want to do whatever to not hurt other quarterbacks whenever their contracts come up. But you want to kind of keep the bar pushing. It's not about being the highest paid guy. It's not about making a ton of money. I've made enough money where I'll be set for the rest of my life. But at the same time, you got to find that line where you're making a good amount of money, but you're still keeping a lot of great players around you so you can win these Super Bowls and you're able to compete in these games.
Is that a hard line to walk?
Yeah, it is. I think it is for all these guys. And I think you see the guys that are getting paid this last offseason, they're trying to find that right spot. Everybody wants to get paid a lot of money. And whenever they think they're the best at their craft, they want to get paid like that. But at the same time, if you look at the greats in the league, I mean, they find that right spot where they're getting paid a lot of money, but at the same time keeping a lot of these great players around me. And so I understand you look at the team and, you know, you got guys like Chris and Snead and even Travis, all these guys that you need to keep around you to have these great teams. But at the same time, you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So we have open communication. I think that's the biggest thing. And you see that from Clark. You see that from Coach Reed. You see that from Veach and everybody. Is we just try to make sure that we have the best team on that football field and everybody gets what they deserve.
I love those comments because, look, there's an interesting issue with quarterbacks where you want to support other quarterbacks around the league. And it's like real estate. If you take less in your neighborhood, it's going to drive down the value of everybody else in the neighborhood. So we acknowledge that. Like, you need to be continue to be paid well because it's going to push everybody else up. And so he acknowledges that, and I think that's interesting. There's probably conversations around the league with other quarterbacks where they're like, hey, you know, go get yours so that I can get mine coming up on my next contract. And so everybody just kind of feeds off each other in the contracts. But he also says, look, I already have more money than I'll ever need, and I have more money than I'm fine financially. So I want to make sure that I'm continuing to build this team around me because I care, and here's his line, I care more about legacy and Super Bowls than I do about money at this point. And, you know, he put in at this point. Now, there's NFL players early in their career where it's about the money. But once you get that big contract, then you can say, okay, now it's about making sure that I have players around me because I just don't want to get paid and be on losing teams. I want to win Super Bowls and be thought of as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
It's the legacy at this point.
Yeah.
And we all know that the greatest of all time is Tom Brady.
Yes.
But we all know that there's one guy currently in the NFL that could chase that, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
He could chase it. It's going to take a lot of years, and it's going to take a lot of luck, and it's going to take a lot of intelligence on his part, and you can hear some of that intelligence in those comments. It's going to take Andy Reid and his good health, and it's going to take Travis Kelce and his good health, and it's going to take everything they've got, but he has everything surrounding him. From the organization to the teammates to the coaching staff to the general managers that are continuing to try to make draft picks that are beneficial to him, he's got the resources to at least fight to be the GOAT.
Yeah. And
I'm sure that's what he wants.
Look, Tom Brady obviously was very, very well compensated, but I don't remember a lot of times where I kept hearing Tom Brady's the highest paid quarterback in the league. Tom Brady took less than he could have for many, many years. And I actually think that's why some of his relationships soured a bit down the stretch with the Patriots and with Bill Belichick, because I think he felt like he was giving back and they weren't spending it the right way, because he wanted to win and continue to win at a high level. And when it started to deteriorate there late with the Patriots, I think it bothered him. Because if I'm going to give money back, you better spend it wisely and you better put a lot of talent around me. And Patrick Mahomes, smart guy, man. You have a hard time. You hear those comments, and it's a hard time not respecting that guy, for sure. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Let's go to the bad. A judge denied bail on Wednesday for former Alabama basketball player Darius Miles. He is facing capital murder charges related to that fatal shooting near campus. Tuscaloosa County Circuit Judge Daniel Pruitt said at a hearing that the bail issue could be revisited later, but not at this time. Again, he pleaded not guilty in the shooting death of 23-year-old Jamia Harris, former reserve forward, and Michael Lynn Davis, both 21 at the time, are charged with capital murder, and there is a wealth of evidence against those guys.
Do you think every time this story pops up, Brandon Miller seizes up just a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he is connected.
Very, very much so.
Between text messaging showing that he was requested to bring the weapon that was used in the killing by Darius Miles, and being connected to that and still being looked at as maybe the number two overall pick?
A lot of people have him at two.
Then the number three?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to fall past three, and good chance he'll go three or go two.
This is a horrible story of youth that had everything in the palm of their hands.
Yeah.
Everything. They had everything they could ever want. And it turns into the murder of Jermaine Harris. I don't know the inner workings, the backstory to whatever those people had against each other that led to the eventual murder. But to think of what these young individuals had with their athleticism and their college education and everything in life, and now he's being denied bail and probably will never be a free man again. It's too much evidence in this case.
Yeah.
And I think any capital murder charge should come without bail. I don't think...
Absolutely.
I don't think any capital murder that is a suspect has been charged should be free at all, at any time. I think that that's freedom that they should be denied. So I can appreciate the fact that they denied bail.
But you're right. I do think that Brandon Miller, every time this becomes a storyline, knowing that he's going through all these workouts, he's asking, answering questions at every workout he goes to, is like, oof.
He's hating it.
He's hating it. And I would really like to hear more from him. And I know, like, I don't deserve it. He doesn't have to say it, but I would really like to hear his words, a detailed accounting as to how and why he delivered a gun.
I would too.
To Darius Miles.
In some of the original reading that I did on this story, there were a few aspects of it that helped me better understand why the NBA is turning a blind eye. Because they are. They're turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
If he goes second in the NBA draft, they've turned a blind eye. One of them is he never saw the weapon. I guess it was wrapped up in the back seat. The other one was he was headed to the location before he was even texted about needing the weapon. It was never said the gun or the weapon. It was like my piece or something. It was a slang term for the gun. There were some things that were in there that made you at least stop and question, okay, how much did he know? How involved was he? Did he know of the fight between Darius Miller or Darius Miles and Jermaine Harris? Did he know how deep that ran, or was that something that was more hidden and it was more explosive in the moment? And maybe he didn't even know. So I try to give him some benefit of doubt, but that is a terrible thing to be connected to.
Yeah. And even, honestly, even if he had no idea what was going on, he had no clue at all what the intent was, if in fact Darius Miles did do this, just knowing that you helped facilitate something.
Yeah, you brought the gun.
The amount of guilt that you would have would just be enormous.
You brought the gun.
Yeah.
To the murder.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really tough thing to live with. And we were talking about this with Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle that was just drafted in this year's NFL draft. And we said, well, yeah, he paid his fines and he paid his dues and he's free and clear. No, he's not free and clear, because now the family of one of the deceased is filing a lawsuit because Jalen Carter had been found driving at excessive speeds multiple times. And now there's starting to be rumblings of how sober was he, and the investigation is now deepening. And that's a surprise to me, because I didn't think the NFL would even get close to touching a story that could potentially have more depth to it. Just like I couldn't imagine that the NBA would touch a story that's got more depth to it. Like, let's say, but
here we are.
Let's say, because this is going to be a lengthy trial.
Yeah.
And discovery is going to be, that's going to be a beast. And when you're going through all text records and messaging, at any point, was there any connectivity of, you knew how bad it was between them and you brought a gun to the scene? I didn't know the gun was there.
Yeah.
You knew the gun was there because of X.
Yeah.
I didn't know what bring the heat meant or whatever the slang term was. It's going to be an insane file.
Well,
same case.
You know, and you talk about the NFL and the civil suit. As soon as the criminal, let's say, Brandon Miller never deals with anything criminally. But as soon as that gets resolved, then I guarantee the family, knowing that he's now in the NBA, is then going to bring a civil suit against him.
Yeah. Like that's going to happen to Jaylen.
Yep. And you're right. Discovery is not fun.
They get everything.
They get everything.
And you can't do anything about it.
All right. There's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
It's a weird one here, Hans.
Ooh. Yeah, this all transpired this morning. For those of you that follow Ja Morant on his social media, this came out through Instagram, and it's four pictures. On one picture of him and his mom, it says, "Love you, Ma." On one picture of him and his dad, it was, "Love you, Pops." On one picture, it was him and his daughter, it says, "Love you," or, "You the greatest baby girl, love you." I think that there was one to his sister. And then on one picture, it says, "Bye." And then it says, "Stay strong, Jaw."
Jeez.
That is a crazy, ominous post to put out on social media, especially in the middle of everything that Jaw has been in the middle of. But it said, "Bye, stay strong, Jaw." After saying, "Love you, Ma, love you, Dad, love you, baby girl, love you, sister, goodbye." So a welfare check was requested for his place. Law enforcement showed up. They did the welfare check, and he was there, and he was fine. And he wrote it off as saying, "Nah, I was just saying goodbye to social media."
That's an interesting way to say goodbye on social media. How about you just text people and say, "Hey, guess what? I'm logging off social media. If you need me, just hit me up on my phone."
In fact, I think it's important enough that I give everybody kind of verbatim here. Police in Tennessee conducted a welfare check on Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant following the cryptic message that I just talked about. Officials told ESPN that he's just taking a break from social media.
Okay.
Public information officer for Shelby County Sheriff's Office confirmed that officers went to Morant's home on Wednesday morning to check, and he is fine. So there's a couple of reasons, obviously, that this struck anxiety in me. I saw this story when it first broke. Before he deleted the post, and before the welfare check, I saw this, and I instantly thought, he's signing off. He's gone.
Yeah, he's
calling it quits. You say, "Love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Love you, baby girl.
Yeah,
bye." To me, that's somebody that's saying, "I've had it. I've had it with life," and he's in a tough spot. He's in a really tough spot, man. He's right now, he's looked at as a very unfavorable person in that organization and in that league. And maybe that anxiety gets to you, and maybe you've already been dealing with depression, and that's just enough to put you over the edge. That, to me, is a pretty disturbing social media post.
Yeah. Yeah, look, if you see that with somebody that you love, and you see that being posted on social media,
you know exactly what you're thinking. In today's world,
you are sprinting to their house as fast as you can.
Absolutely. In today's world, you know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
They're saying goodbye. Not, "Oh, I'm sorry." So I understand
the confusion. Sorry for the confusion, everybody.
Just not going to be on Instagram for 4 weeks.
Now, the cynic in me says, did he want people just to have that feeling, even though he wasn't feeling that way?
Well, I don't even know if that would be the cynic in you, Lloyd. I think that's just the basic
way you look at things now.
Question that we would all look at.
I see that. I'm just like,
it's a cry for attention.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me.
Because how many people?
I'm like, what?
How many people you log on to social media and somebody posts something like, "Today was the worst, you guys," and you're like, okay,
every day.
Somebody'd be like, "Oh, tell me about it. What's up? You got this, girl?" Oh, he's like, "Ugh, ridiculous." Stupid.
Hans?
Okay, so I do post that from time to time. I do look for attention.
It's like, geez.
I mean, that's what social media really has become. Like,
pull the double shift. flight from Philly to Utah. Whoa.
I even hinted at one thing once, and Lloyd blew me up. Like, you're sending out a grinding tweet. I'm like, I'm not. No, it is.
Oh, you were grinding from, I don't know, LSU or something like that.
Hey, but what's wrong with every now and then just needing a friend to send a message based off of your message?
Not like this, though.
No.
That's in the review mirror. We're not.
Okay.
No,
yeah. All right. This, to me, this is disgusting. I mean,
if there's somebody that
this
really, if he really is having some issues, then okay, that's,
yes,
that's what, but it's,
absolutely.
It's
but
hard,
if this,
but it's like.
You're right. It's hard to differentiate somebody who knows they've got a huge social media following.
I hate saying this, by the way.
And just wants to. And wants to relish in everybody saying that they love him, or somebody who's actually thinking about the worst of the worst, and need, and it's a cry for help.
Going through this,
yeah.
And for you to, if you were tugging at people's heartstrings,
well,
yeah,
with this,
so, and it does, by the way, and it tugged at mine, even though I'm not a Ja fan. It really tugged at mine. And I'm going to tell you, when I saw the post on Instagram, and he did take it down a short time after. But when I saw it, my mind instantly pictured the headline of Ja Morant found dead in his home.
Yeah.
And then I started picturing that beautiful, vibrant athlete that he is. Because he's a beautiful, vibrant, incredible.
I've loved watching athlete. That man play basketball since he was in college.
You've been talking about him before anybody else was talking about him. And the thought of that image, you know, with his fun hair that he's always got. He's always got purple or something or colors in the hair. And he's got that incredible physical gift and build. And he's typically lively. And the thought of seeing a headline, Ja Morant found dead in his home, sent a chill down my spine. And yeah. It didn't matter. And when I found out that he's okay and that this was an escape from social media, to me, that's disturbing. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's another thing that bugs me about him now, because for a minute I cared.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about this in terms of false accusations, is that it takes away from the people that actually need help.
Right.
Or that are hurting.
Right. And as you mentioned, if he was crying for help and just made this up, but his excuse was, no, I just stepped in. I'm fine. What are you talking about? What? Welfare check? I'm fine. Just taking some time away from Instagram. That's bogus.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, hey, don't miss the grand opening of the Fat Cats in Bluffdale, 13901 South Redwood Road. Hans, you and I will be there on Friday, just a couple days away, May 26th from noon to 3. It's Fat Cats, the best place for family fun. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Barry Trammell, sports columnist for the Oklahoman. You got a quote.
Of course, you're talking about the Big 12 coach who told me Colorado's coming soon.
What is your gut instinct on this?
My gut instinct, really, until the last few weeks, was that the Pac-12's going to stay together. It just made too much sense. The difference of $2 million a year is not worth being in a conference out of your time zone or your tradition or your heritage or your history. But the deeper we get into this and the crazy nature of the marketplace, it looks
looks like there's some fundamental problems with the television market. 3 months ago, I said, well, yeah, they're going to be able to work this out. And now I'm just not so sure. So I think it's more likely than ever that some PAC schools are coming to the Big 12. I've changed my opinion. I think it's now likely. 3 months ago, I didn't think it was likely.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You must understand.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's another edition of Whole World News, spanning Martina. The globe. What's that?
More Tina?
Yeah. This is Hero,
I like
right?
Tina. No, this is...
Oh, What's Love?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
Tina,
I mean...
Tina had to go on some of these.
You got to go old school Proud Mary coming up somewhere. That's a great song.
83? Man, what? I thought she was not, because I was thinking, like, I remember some of her music in high school, maybe in college.
Yeah, no.
Well, she was still up doing the quick dance.
Oh, all. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Big high heels.
Yeah. 83, so she would have had to been in her
40s when we were, well, no, never mind, 50s.
Try to keep your hips 60s. From moving.
Late 50s?
Yeah.
Early 60s?
When we were in high school, she was in her 70s.
She's the same. She's pretty much the same age as...
Stop it.
Don't. Don't.
Nope.
Don't do that.
All right.
Angela Lansbury.
There you go. Hey,
Said it.
You and I, speaking of high school, this is actually more elementary, junior high. We watched Gleaming the Cube, right?
Oh, man. Didn't just watch it. Ingested it.
Yes. Many, many times. To the point where you get on a skateboard, then you realize that guys our frame
not for us.
Didn't quite translate to skateboard.
I was never going to be a skater die guy.
Well, made me want to have an adopted brother.
Let me introduce you to Chad Caruso, who took a skateboard and skated 3,162 miles. He went from Venice Beach in California to Virginia Beach. Guess how long he did it to go cross country on a skateboard across the United States?
Pulled behind a pizza truck?
No, no, he didn't do that. He didn't do the whole, Back to the Future thing where he's hiding behind a truck. That's what I thought, actually.
Dude,
no.
When that Pizza Hut pizza truck comes over the top of that ridge and they're all skating behind it.
Yeah. Whole crew.
Yeah. Man, I wanted gives a crew me the like chills. That. I know. Let's go, man. He's in trouble. Let's go. And they all hop in the truck. A Pizza Hut guy with his Pizza Hut hat on. Man, I wanted buddies like that.
I know.
Never had them.
Wait, we got your back. Maybe not on a skateboard.
No, and back in when I was in junior high or high school. Okay. Could have just used a good posse. How long would that have taken? 3,162
miles on a skateboard. And by the way, he was very quick to point out that... while he did elongate the skateboard, it still is classified as a skateboard. He doesn't want people to think he used a longboard. It was a true skateboard that he took across the United States.
How is that even possible? Because you'd have to been on freeways to get through a lot of that.
He said mostly it was two-lane highways, tried to stay off the interstates. Kept all of his supplies in one backpack. One single change of clothes, some tools to change out wheels, water, and some gas station snacks he'd pick up along the way. Mostly ate fast food and gas station food. He also rarely knew where he'd be sleeping at night, just finding the nearest lodging around his route.
So it's not like you had a team doing this.
Nope, just him.
Okay, so do you have to document and track that you actually did this on a skateboard.
He did a, apparently he had weekly or daily updates on his progress. But yeah, he may have hitched.
Because I'll admit, I did one charity bike ride. I did a couple of charity bike rides where I did a full 100. I did one charity bike ride that went up and over Suncrest.
Yeah.
You guys, oh, yeah. South Mountain Golf Course, and then up over Suncrest, and then it comes down out Alpine area or Pleasant Grove area. And I did plant a vehicle at the bottom of that hill, and that vehicle, I will not say who drove it, took me to the top of that hill because I wasn't going to do that hill.
By the way, that's a look of everything he had in his pack. A lot of Slim Jims. Big fan of Slim Jims, apparently. But that's all he had. One pair of clothes. He tried to, and he would rotate clothes when he could, wash his clothes when he could.
Let me see. Is there an extra set of trucks on there? Isn't that what they call the metal piece between the wheels?
Yes,
it is.
Wow. I had no idea.
Man. I wanted to be cool like that.
I do, too. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a true story. Do you remember the skateboards that had the handles on it? I got one of those for Christmas when I was in eighth grade.
I think that's called a scooter.
No, it was a skateboard.
Yeah.
And it had the handle that came up off the skateboard. So yeah. You could hold the handle while you skateboard, or yeah. You can use it like a scooter.
They slimmed it down to a scooter.
You didn't take that to school, did you?
No, my brother ended up ripping the handle off because he was way cool and he used it as a skateboard. And then I ended up trading it to my buddy Jared for a G.I. Joe like tank thing.
Because I was afraid you're going to be like, he had like a extra sandwich and you're like, I'm so hungry. I'll give you the skateboard for it.
No, I took do you remember the G.I. Joe gunship that was, it had a massive cannon on it?
And it was just
a hauler.
The Navy ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I traded him for that.
So he made the cross-country trip in 57 days. Averaging 55 miles a day.
I'd have thought at least 4 months.
That's what I would have thought, too. Like, I have a hard time believing he actually did this.
Okay, that part actually puts this into question.
55 miles a day on a skateboard?
No, that's not possible.
That's that's kind of my thought.
How can I message him? I'm going to say liar.
You're just going to blow him up on the old social medias. You're a liar.
I want proof.
Chad Caruso, skating across America. All right, coming up next, Kurt Heelan joins us next, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. But we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish rough. It's the way we do Proud Mary.
And we rolling on the river.
Listen to the story now. Left a good job in the city.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Working for the man every night and day.
Gotta wait till it picks up here.
And I never lost.
By the way, caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze at the Delta Center coming up on September 30th. Tickets will be transferred electronically at a later date, but make sure to get your tickets. If you don't win, go to Ticketmaster.com for your chance to win tickets to the Be Funny tour going on at the Delta Center with Nate Bargatze.
Did she write and originate this?
I think this was Ike, her husband, who wasn't a particularly good human being.
Abusive, right?
Yeah. You ready for this to pick up? You're going to hit this low note. And then here we go. It's a good song.
The guy could write some music.
All right.
Oh, I left a good job in the city.
Tina Turner passing away today at the age of 83. Great song, though. Good stuff. All right, joining us now. Oh, we don't have Kurt yet. All right. Kurt's going to join us coming up here in just a moment.
I wish we could air half that.
I know, right? I know.
Lloyd loves to say things.
You guys could be professional. Be better.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, that is classic Lloyd for sure. Excited to talk to Kurt. Get the landscape as now the Lakers go home and Denver goes into a 10-day rest period. Denver might have too much time on their hands. Let's say Boston really pushes the tempo on this. They now get a win at home. They push it to 3-2. Let's go. They go and they lose in game six. Well, Miami's still got a little bit of rhythm.
Yeah.
Denver's been hanging out.
I know.
I don't know if that's a rest versus rust thing. Is that a good or a bad thing?
It could go either way. Usually, I think if it's that long, I think it's going to be a problem for Denver.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
That is a long time to be off a court and away from the competitive realm. I don't think you're going to lose your endurance, but you lose that edge. Not that it's going to matter in a Miami-Denver series anyways.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I feel like that series is probably going to be as dull as the Boston-Miami series has been to this point. Not as dull as the Lakers-Denver series, but it's going to be a bloodbath for Denver.
I do not want Denver to win this series. Those fans are going to be insufferable.
They are.
Their media is already insufferable.
They are.
I have to sit behind the scenes here. I have to sit with, we have these monthly meetings where we sit with other programmers from other markets inside the Bonneville family.
Yeah.
And the guy from Denver, super good dude, nice guy, but a little insufferable.
He's feeling himself a bit.
Oh yeah. They're puffing their chest out pretty good right now.
We wouldn't do that.
No.
If the Utah Jazz were on a run. We'd be humble.
No, absolutely. He had the Avs win last year. Probably going to have the Nuggets win this year. Hey, maybe that's a good sign that the Broncos will win next year.
The Broncos have won enough. Denver's had enough.
Hey, there's first graders out there that have not experienced the Super Bowl.
Our Raiders. It's our time.
It's our time.
Right, Hans?
Vegas. It's our time down
here. It's our time up here.
And I'm taking this one back.
Taking them all back.
Taking them all back.
We getting stood up by Kurt?
Well, he needed to push it back an hour, which we agreed to. So I don't know. Something must come up, possibly. Maybe a John Morant story. Who knows?
Did you say something? Did you do something?
No. Me and Kurt are tight.
I'd double check that. Just go look at your text, because sometimes you text things I don't think you mean. They leave you bruised and battered. He said that about me? Is this John Morant story one of the weirdest stories you've covered in years?
I'm either way, it's a bad story. Whether it's a cry for help, and Alex Carey just walked in during the last break. He's like, that's just an attention-seeking thing, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's what it seems like.
There's no way this is a PR stunt, though. This is not, this is not PR.
If you've got your agent be like, hey, you know what we can do to help you out? Why don't you send out, you know what, honestly, there's a lot of slimy PR people out there. I actually wouldn't put it past some slimy dude be like,
Scotty,
you know how you
can't fake despair and depression and suicide.
Yeah, you can. And again, I don't even want to say that, but I could see a slimy PR guy going like, hey, you know how we can get back in the, win that court of public opinion back? You say, look, you're dealing with a lot of stuff. You're going through some stuff. Give him a good scare. That'll get people back on your side.
It's already out there. He's not, you know, he said he's not.
But that's the problem. Struggling. So when the officer knocks on your door and you answer it and he says, job.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Are you okay? And he says, yeah. What do you mean? Are you okay? Yeah, I was just saying I'm leaving social media for a while. So your PR person helped you to that point, and then you just flopped.
And then he's like, I'm out.
And then your PR guy's calling. What did you tell them? I just told him I was leaving Instagram for a couple weeks. Oh, no, that's not the angle.
You got to remember the story. Come on, stick to the script.
What a bizarre deal. For those of you that are just tuning in and didn't hear us talking about this in The Good, Bad, and Ugly, Ja Morant sent out Instagram posts. They were individual Instagram posts with pictures of him with his mom, pictures of him with his dad and his baby girl, telling each one of them goodbye. And at the end of it said, goodbye. Stay strong, Ja. And that was it. And then those posts got deleted. And then everybody thought the worst. And that's why you get the welfare check. Officers knocking on the door. Ja answers it. And he says, oh, no, I'm fine.
Everything's good here.
Just leaving Instagram. His exact quote, just taking a break from social media. So at that point, okay, so let's say I'm the welfare check.
Yeah.
I recognize that there is an issue in the home. He's depressed. He's sad. He's brokenhearted. I take that. Taking a break from social media? Hey, man, let's get you help. We'll put that out there that you're just taking a break from social media. I know that you don't want to face the music of potential suicide or failed suicide or whatever just happened. You know, you don't want to face the music. We'll do whatever you want. Yeah, just release that. And then get the help that you need. If this kid is seriously depressed to the point where he was thinking about taking his life and put out social media posts to say goodbye to his family before taking his life, then I don't care how they paint this. I just want him to get the help.
Just get the help. Yeah, absolutely.
Feel better, man.
Yeah. Whatever lies you need to put out there, fine, whatever.
Fine.
Lie away.
But feel better.
But get the help.
Because I really want the Ja Morant that we saw early in the NBA, that beacon of light, that buzzsaw athlete, the flashy hair and the flashy style, and he brought life to the court. And then these gun incidences happened, and then what looked like was a suicide note on social media happened, and you've got this shell of a human. I hope that whatever he's dealing with, and Scotty, one reason I think that there may have been some real depression or some real things that pushed him to put out that Instagram post, you don't have a second gun offense on some type of live streaming if you are mentally healthy and you're Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You don't. There's not a chance in living hell. If I did something illegal, Scotty, and you and Bonneville and Nate and Lloyd pull me into an office and you guys look down your nose at me and you say, dude, what you did, we don't know if we can recover from. So what we're doing is suspension, this, this, and this. You're going to have an apology. And I say, okay, I'll do whatever you need. The last thing I'm going to do is in a month or two's time, repeat the incident, unless I'm mentally unhealthy. And at that point, you say, we've got an employee on our hands that I think's got some mental health issues. It's not, Hance, how can you do that again? It's, hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At that point, it's, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. I've got an addiction. I've got a severe alcohol addiction, or I've got a severe drug addiction, or no, I'm fighting with anxiety and horrible depression. And really, I don't care if I live or I die tomorrow. I don't care. Okay, Hans, well, this is going to be a PR nightmare. We might have to suspend you, might have to fire you, but let's start in an avenue that we can get you help. Because this, to me, is icing on what is already a little bit of a shaky, scary cake. And I don't take this lightly. Put whatever you want out there. Yeah, taking a break from social media. Make sure that Ja Morant isn't left alone. If I'm his dad, what's his dad? Ty Morant? Or
yeah.
Dad's always in the news.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. Sounds right.
If I'm his dad, or if I'm any one of those people that had my name involved on that post, I'm not leaving alone.
No.
Even if he says, oh,
I'm good.
I'm fine. Let me come over for the weekend. Let me hang out for a few days. And if I see any indication that you're not fine, let's figure out what help we can get you. Because there's not a healthy person that puts out that. I don't even care if a PR stunt manager comes to you and says, I know how we can rebuild your image. A little sympathy. You can't justify that post to me any other way.
Yeah.
And again, I saw it before it was taken down and before it's explained and before, and it freaked me out pretty good. And I think it freaked out everybody that saw it.
It's a scary deal. And I think there's, look, and frankly, from our standpoint, like, you're really not sure how to address this and how to even talk about this, which is maybe why we're struggling with mental health issues, because nobody really knows how to talk about it. But if there is indeed a problem, it needs to be addressed. And you're right. Family members need to get involved. But I also think that if he did, in fact, say it was just a social media thing, I guess you have to respect him on that and respect what he said. But at the end of the day, it's so unbelievable. That's not what you say when you're getting off social media.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
by the way, this is coming from a guy that's pulled a prank or two. If you try to write this off as a prank, that's not happening either.
No.
Like, I've done some mean pranks and I've done some dumb things. But you'll never, especially in today's climate.
No, you can't joke about that.
Oh.
No. Nope. Hey, transitioning a little bit here. The poll results are starting to come in.
Oh, shoot.
You are dominating. As we, not a big surprise here, the college football defensive lineman, you're getting 70% of the votes on that.
Ooh.
Guess who's leading on the best leading actress votes?
You. It's got to be you. Scotty.
I would hope it's me.
Hans Olsen.
What? You know what? People just feel bad for you.
Hans Olsen.
What is that supposed to mean?
Hans Olsen is getting 56% of the votes. I'm at 35.
Because Jake, you put these things on Twitter and say, please help me out.
And Jake is at 70.
Vote for
Jake
me.
Is at 7.5%.
Jake's only getting 7.5% of the vote?
Well, the Elizabeth Taylor. Here's, yeah, the Elizabeth Taylor thing's killing him. Like, who does Jake have that could really anchor a movie?
Frances McDormand. I love her. The Billboard movie.
Yeah.
I loved
Don't
Fargo.
You know?
Yeah, but those are all kind of like, those aren't blockbuster movies.
Fargo?
Fargo really wasn't a blockbuster movie. Like, we enjoyed it, but it wasn't like a huge movie.
Really? Because I've always been under the impression that Fargo is one of the greatest cult hits.
Cult? Yeah, when you say cult, that means a smaller following, but it's not something that's going to make.
But it's not a broad.
But it's not going to make. It didn't make $200 million at the theaters.
I think Hans's list is just really being held up by two actresses.
Well, yeah, you got Julia Roberts
and Meryl
Meryl Streep.
Did you watch Nomadland?
No, I haven't even heard of Nomadland.
It's Frances McDormand, and it's kind of a real story of these individuals.
Oh, you've told me about this.
Leave life and jump in a camper or turn a van into a camper and just drive around. I actually thought it was fantastic.
Well,
she's a compelling actor.
Anyway, Julie Andrews and Kelly LeBrock apparently is holding it down for you.
Sigourney Dreamweaver is not.
I know, right?
Helping you at all. And I love Aliens.
Oh, I'd love to watch.
I can't believe, like, your disrespect for Sigourney Weaver is remarkable. I thought that was kind of a no-brainer, actually. But
I think
apparently
that
I'm off on an island on that one.
You know, I kind of underestimated my lists here. And, you know, when we think Molly Ringwald, how come we don't think greatness?
Because she's not great. I mean, you got 16 candles, and you got St. Elmo's fire, or what was she in? Oh, the Breakfast Club, sorry.
How dare you?
I'm not wrong.
Okay, but the two you mentioned are classics.
Oh, Curry Heelan's going to be on with us tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I thought you were dumping something.
Oh, no, 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 no.
my gut fell out.
That was kind of the motion for dumping, yeah.
My gut just fell out. What did I do?
We just found out Nate is apparently a huge Julie Andrews or Molly Ringwald fan. Like, dump it, dump it. No, honestly, outside of those 80s angsty teenage movies, what has Molly Ringwald done?
Those. And that's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, outside of Weird Science, what's Kelly LeBrock done? Yeah, I'm still winning the vote.
Well,
here.
Okay, you're right. Never mind. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
I'm winning the vote.
I thought Kate Beckinsale would give me a nice little boost, but apparently that's not working either.
Yeah, I don't know. But we both missed on Sandra Bullock.
And yeah,
we all both three of missed us on Kathy Bates.
No, I had a chance to put Kathy Bates on there, and I chose not to.
I wonder if it's Kelly LeBrock that's putting me over the top for this thing. Might be. Because she was special in that movie.
Not arguing with you on that. But I didn't think that'd be enough to get you over the top, but here you are.
The best college defensive lineman poll. I've got Merlin Olsen, Nate Orchard, Jason Buck, Paul Kruger, and Hunter Dimmick. Jake took Phil Olsen, Luther Ellis, Starla Delele, Jan Jorgensen, Steve Fafita. Scotty did not participate in this one because I don't know
there's not enough left there to.
Yeah, I don't know if you could dredge up five. Like, you could take Bradley and Nye. You could take Bradley and Nye.
Bradley and Nye.
We didn't leave a lot on the table.
All right, 227, we'll spin the wheel, a little sports roulette coming up next. Hands and Scotty, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL beat Colorado Saturday. Can they do it again tonight? It's the U.S. Open Cup, round of 16, winner to the quarterfinals. Pregame show tonight at 7, first kick at 8 o'clock.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right. Let's make somebody happy, shall we? You know what we forgot to do, Lloyd? We didn't give away tickets, did we?
No, we did.
Did we give away tickets?
We've given away all our tickets. We're good. Man, you're really feeling it.
Yeah, you gave some Sam Smith tickets earlier.
Yeah, I did some
and,
Sam Smith.
And the Bargatze tickets?
Yeah, you gave those away.
Dang. All right. I'm what on else top you got of nothing. Today.
What else you got to
You're
give?
You're on the ball.
I got nothing else to give.
No, I know you got something else to give.
You're a giver.
Well, I will tell you that, and I'm sure eventually we'll be giving away tickets to this. Not right now. The National Hockey League will kick off the upcoming season in Utah. Don't miss Frozen Fur.
Frozen Furry.
You know what? I'll pass.
Cats on ice. Come I'm see good. The majesty of cats on ice. Frozen Furry here at the Delta Center. Hey.
Oh.
You'll buy the full seat. You only need the edge.
Oh, my gosh.
Frozen Furry. A story, a tell.
Frozen fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at the Dolby Center October 5th.
Group tickets of people that got really excited.
Stop it.
Agility on ice.
Tickets available at lakings.com/frozenfury in association with the Utah Sports Commission. I'm not going to be able to read that liner again and not think I'm going to screw up.
Man, I want to make so many jokes.
I know. I have you and
so
me
many.
Yeah.
But it's just best that we don't.
There's sometimes I think everybody in their car right now is making their own jokes.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so.
And it's just frozen fury, man.
Oh, boy.
Written and directed by the co-stars.
All right, what do we got? Oh, roulette. Lloyd, it's probably best you spin the wheel right now.
No debate on this goat.
Okay, so Scotty, there's debate in Major League Baseball goat history, right?
Sure.
There's debate in NBA goat history. A little. Little.
Yeah, all right.
Not really, but a little, right?
Yeah.
There's debate in NFL, or is it just Tom Brady?
Pretty much Tom Brady, but, you know, you can throw in some other guys in there.
So when I say NHL, is there any debate?
NHL? Yeah. No, it's Gretzky.
It's Gretzky.
Yeah.
That's it, right? No debate, right? Huh? Yeah, the great one. There's no debate, is there?
No.
His jersey is up for auction.
Ooh. Okay.
It is the final jersey worn by Wayne Gretzky. And let's see. So when I checked it this morning when I was putting together some notes. It was at $190,000 for the final game worn jersey.
Wow, that's it.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. It's on this list of auction items. Okay, here it is. Let's see where we're at. We are at, no, we're still at $190,000.
Wow.
So he scored his last assist and his last career point in this jersey.
Hmm. And it's only going for
$190,000.
Wow. Well, it shows you how popular hockey is.
I'm actually a little surprised on this one.
It's kind of a bummer deal, actually.
I thought that this would... let's see.
This is where his son-in-law steps in and
drives up the price
drives
a little
up
bit.
The price on this.
Dustin,
we're going to need you to drive the price on this.
Lloyd, take a guess. The last year Wayne Gretzky was on the ice.
Ooh, I want in on this.
I don't ask gonna, you because
I
you're
a
historian.
I
want
to say right around 2000.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Longer ago than that?
Yeah. I'm going to say
98.
I'm going to go 93.
Last go on the ice was 1999.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That was close.
Attaboy, Lloyd.
Okay.
He put up his 2,857th point.
I would have said
with an assist.
Early 90s on that.
With an assist. And this is the jersey that he had on. And it's got a handwritten signature on the tag and a game date for 1899. It was a game against the Penguins at Madison Square Garden.
At MSG?
Yes. Final jersey, signed, dated for 1899, and it's going to $190,000.
There has to be someone from his homeland that will drives the price up on this. Like. Well,
it does make you wonder, do the real people wait until you're there at closing day and they've got it? Like, you're not going to miss that final hour, and then you fire off $100,000 more than the next best and take it home? Is that what they do? Maybe they just wait.
That's really low for Gretzky.
Especially in the day of sports memorabilia that we're currently in. We're seeing ridiculous prices paid for stupid things. Somebody paid like $2 million for a dime or something.
What was it? The flu shoes went for more than that.
Oh, and did you guys see that flu shoe
that guy,
kid is suing?
As he should, too. Because we said it. Remember when it went to auction? We're like, that's too low.
He felt like he got...
It's way too low.
Well, it was a few million too low.
Yeah. Yep.
guy had the shoes.
Yeah.
He allowed somebody to pressure him into it. I'm sorry. That's, you sold it.
That's on you.
You took the pressure and you took the money.
If you would have listened to us, we were telling you all the time on the air, don't do it. Do not do it.
Yes, we did. Those shoes are more valuable than real estate, man. But anyways, the GOATS jersey, it's available on auction at grayflannelauctions.com.
Maybe that's the problem. It's on Gray Flannel Auctions.
I guess this is a
is that a big one?
It's a big one.
My son's been watching this Netflix show where, and it's a little bit, you know, what's that, Pawn Stars? You know, a lot of that's just manufactured fictional nonsense. But it's about this guy that essentially he owns this auction house and he specializes in sports memorabilia sales and auctions. And they had something like a Peyton Manning, one of the super jerseys he wore in Super Bowl 50, which would have been his last game played. Won a Super Bowl, and they were looking at like $4 million or something like that, or just a ridiculous amount of money.
For a Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning jersey that he wore in Super Bowl 50. Now, Peyton did say, I always changed my jersey at halftime. So there's always two jerseys for every game because apparently he didn't wear the same jersey. He would swap out jerseys at halftime, at least according to Peyton.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. But $4 million?
Some obscene amount. I could be way off, but it was definitely seven digits.
Man, they've got some cool stuff here. It's, by the way, that closes on June 11th.
Well.
This Gray Flannel Auctions has some really cool stuff. So does Wayne Gretzky give that to somebody and then they auction it off?
Yeah, I think that may have happened where he gives it to somebody and that person's hurting for cash and said, all right, well, it's time to, we got to unload this thing.
Let's see. Boy, this Barry Sanders helmet's cool.
All right, you've got a really cool piece of memorabilia with that poster of the Fearsome Foursome that's signed.
Yeah, I like that.
Other than that, is there any kind of sports memorabilia, money not being an object?
Yeah.
That you would like to have?
I would. I'd like to have Babe Ruth's bat.
When he called his shot?
Yeah. I'd like to have that. Babe Ruth was a larger-than-life historical figure when I was growing up that, even though I'm not a baseball guy, he was the king. So I would love to have that. I would love to have the gloves worn by Mike Tyson on the ear bite.
All right.
I think that would be...
That's what you're going with.
How about a piece of the ear?
That would be even better. That'd be even better. If you got that chunk of ear and just somehow formatted it and put it in a box, that'd be pretty cool. There is not football history that I want. I've got my uncle's picture.
I would cool. love to have the football from Elway's drive against Cleveland. 98 yards.
Is that where he cartwheeled over the top?
No, that was in the Super Bowl. But this is the he's playing Cleveland in the AFC Championship game. They're down 7 with 5 minutes left. He takes them 98 yards, scores the game-tying touchdown, and then they win in overtime.
Ooh, you know a good one to have, Lloyd? The one iron that Jack Nicklaus
had. Oh, there you go.
The one iron that Jack Nicklaus hit would be pretty sweet.
Not as much behind this, but the bat that Bo Jackson broke over his head.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. That is more personal.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about the bird that Randy Johnson hit?
A feather from it?
That might be kind of crazy.
I think that thing, geez, man.
Did you guys see the bird that took the line drive? Yesterday or 2 days ago?
No.
Bird sitting out near shortstop, just on the infield, and he landed on the ground. Dude smashes this line drive, and it just takes out the bird.
And it survived?
No.
Oh.
No, it turned it into dust. It just...
Not like Randy Johnson does, because that thing, I mean, it literally exploded.
No, you didn't see that much explosion, because the bird wasn't in flight.
Okay.
It was just sitting there, but... You see everybody on the field was looking at each other like, oh, that's really sad. Speaking of sad, do you want to share something that happened to you today?
No, I actually don't. What are you talking about? The cat that was hit this morning?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Well, I guess we know now.
Share it.
Because that's one way to bring it out.
Yeah.
Roll it on out.
No, so I'm taking the kids to school this morning, and all of a sudden I see this, like, it looked like a paper bag, a plastic sack that got ran over by a car. Well, no, it wasn't. It was a cat flailing.
We're being awfully descriptive about this.
Well, it was awful. The kids saw it this morning. The kids saw it.
Well, that is devastating.
I've never hit an animal. Never hit an animal or seen an animal hit like that. It was awful.
Did you stop and assist, or did you
The lady that hit it assisted. Don't, Scott. Stop. Don't.
We're going to need you to try and be a little more sensitive here.
Yeah, and there's a reason, because there's something coming up very soon that you need to be a little more sensitive about.
What are you talking about?
Well, we're going to be somewhere.
Oh, the day of adoption?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
So it was awful. I had to tell Xavier. I said, "Hey, this is why we don't let Maximus
run.
You want to be careful. This is why, because sometimes he lets him out the front door." And I'm like, "Don't do that."
I have in my life. I've seen a few animals hit. It's horrible.
It is.
It's traumatizing, man.
It was awful. This thing, like I said, it was like a fish out of water. It was really awful.
Would you agree, Scotty?
I grew up on a farm. I saw some stuff.
Well, what about when you, at that gas station?
What?
What? Oh.
Why don't we talk about what happened that day?
How about no? 2:45, Hans and Scotty.
You want to go to break? You don't want to talk now?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? Spin the wheel then. Let's sneak in one more.
False claims have to stop.
So, Scotty, you were talking about the false accusation thing earlier today.
Yeah.
They got to stop. But there are more and more and more false accusations that are coming out. So we reported on Odell Beckham Jr. in The Ugly a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
In an assault case. It kicked off middle of April, somewhere in there, that we brought the story up. A woman alleged that Odell Beckham put his hands around her neck during an encounter at a popular restaurant called Delilah that's in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they go into a very deep investigation. Those are heavy accusations. If those claims are accurate, Odell Beckham should have his freedom taken.
Absolutely.
So, they go in and investigate it. They pull all video cameras available. No sign of any assault. They question every individual that was around in that moment, including one witness that was allegedly one of the friends of the complainant. And the friend said that they did not see any assault take place. That's a friend of the person that accused him. So no video evidence. Her own friend would not cooperate. There was not a single witness. And the owner of the place said, not possible. Odell Beckham's been here 1,000 times.
Wow.
He is a great customer of ours, and this did not happen. Okay, so we are in the craziest days of days. I'm telling you. That somebody would drop a false accusation on Odell Beckham Jr., probably with the intent to eventually sue and get money from him.
Yeah. Yep.
But, Scotty, you know the damage that this does, because we used to kind of stomp around and say, you got to listen to every victim. You got to listen to the victim. The accusations that are false now make you stop and think, whoa. Are you telling the truth? When we should never have to question if an individual is telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still listen to every victim, and then you do your due diligence and you do your investigation.
And then you know what else you do? When you find somebody that has falsely accused.
I'm with you 100%.
You have to throw the same book at them that you would have at the person that was accused.
Don't disagree with that at all. Yep.
She should have her freedom taken away. as well as many others that we've reported on in these false accusations over the last few months specifically. You got to stop. You got to put an end to this. And everybody in this country should stand behind that.
Yeah.
Because now we're dealing with these false claims on these high paid individuals that are having to defend themselves, spend millions of dollars on defense. And it's forcing our law enforcement to spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions, on investigation. Pulling all the film, spending hours and hours watching film, finding all of the different possible witnesses, the investigation period on that. All for nothing.
Yeah.
Because somebody's a false claim.
Yep.
And then you still have Odell Beckham Jr., who it's false, and yet happened back in April, but it's really hard. What do you walk around if you're Odell and say, hey, just so you know, if you've got bad feelings towards me, that was a false claim.
Yeah. It follows you around.
It does.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to me. He should be able to reverse sue and get all kinds of money for defamation from this.
All right, 250, Hans and Scotty, we'll wrap this thing up when we come back right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports Zone.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Otherwise known as Scotty G in high school.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So bizarre, man.
You're not helping, by the way. Just, you need to be a little bit better on the old text machine.
I'll do better.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me. You know, I've become somewhat of a baseball fan.
Yeah, look at you. What are you a bigger fan of, the Raiders or baseball now?
I guess you could call me a Dodgers fan.
Oh, now you've really done it. So hey, now I can really hate you. Good.
That song's okay.
Tina rocks.
Yeah, that's got some passion in it.
Oh, yeah, it's a great song.
All her stuff has passion.
Hey. And what I don't understand, I'm just watching this fight video that happened at a Yankees game. And maybe it's because it's at Yankee Stadium. And I did all the Dodger games that I've gone to ended in wins.
All one of them?
Why do you got to say how many? What good is that?
Sorry, my bad.
All you need is one.
Yep. Hey, look, it's more games than I've been to this year as a Cubs fan, so you're a better fan than I am.
Well, I don't think we need to talk about how many. Let's just say that all the games that I've been to have ended in victory.
Yes.
And so maybe the crowd is happy and go lucky, but leaving the stadium, it was high fives and everybody's laughing and loving. And by the way, L.A. was incredible. The people, everything was just great. I loved it.
Wait a minute.
I know.
You hate Southern California.
Yeah, there's some things that, like, I wouldn't want to live there. But this last little go-around that I had there?
Really?
I loved it.
Really? Because usually loved you come it. Back to a major city and you're like, it's disgusting, I hate it, everything about it was gross.
No, I loved it.
No, wow.
I really had a great time, and the people were wonderful. In fact, I had a concessions woman that commented on my blue eyes.
Really?
And she said, my goodness, those are bright.
She gave you some extra nachos, didn't she?
little extra chili on the dog. Yeah. I don't understand these fights at these ballparks. Stop fighting. It's supposed to be fun. Just go. And you know what? If you're too drunk, figure your life out. And I don't know how people afford to get drunk at ball games.
Oh, yeah. With 12 bucks a 12 bucks a pop on beer, if not more?
Lloyd, yeah, actually, you hit it right on the head, $12.50. How many beers would it take for me to be drunk?
You?
Yeah. I'm at about 275.
How many rusted nails would it take?
Well, a lot of rusty nails.
How many Heffenweisens?
How many Heffies?
How many peach Heffies?
Did you bring this up with Jake today?
No, I didn't. I'm just wondering.
I feel like it would, I don't know. Start feeling it, maybe a pitcher, your own pitcher. So that'd be like, I don't know.
Well, the dude's not accustomed to drinking.
Like five big beers?
Yeah, but he's still got a decent-sized body, so I don't know. Maybe five.
Okay, so we're talking about close to $80.
Yeah.
Who's got $80 to spend on beer at a ball game?
And I don't think baseball has, tailgating. I think it's not a tailgate sport.
No.
Football. That's how people do it in football. They get hammered before they even get in there.
Yeah, there was no tailgating at that game.
Hey, speaking of fans in the stands, when you think of a New York fan, give me a stereotype of what you think of a fan going to like a Yankees game or people in New York. I always think that they're like angry, tough. Everybody talks about the size of rats there.
Yeah, short, undersized.
Little Napoleon complex, ready to pick a fight with anybody.
A little hairy. Yeah.
Did you see this video of this squirrel running across the stands?
And these guys freaking out
like they were like a bunch of 12-year-old girls.
They don't look like they're from New York.
That is the cutest stinking squirrel. Those guys are worried that thing's got rabies. What's it going to do? Nibble my bum? They call me a Tim. Search for the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
It's a rabbit with nasty teeth. No?
But that thing, that rabbit got after people, though.
Oh, yeah. It flat out took some heads off.
Yeah. All right. Unrivaled coming up next. Hands and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.